So that was our recap video that Hannah Gao made. She couldn't be here today, but she did an awesome job with the videography at camp. So, camp was awesome. It was amazing. It was hard. It was life-changing. So I just want to give a little recap, and then I'll have whoever wants to come up speak. But we got to throw a birthday party, which you saw up there for all the kids. One of the boys told us he never had a birthday party before. So that just made it all, like, worth it. It was like, this is for you. Jen Colgan did awesome planning the birthday party. Shout out to her. They loved it. They had so much fun, the Mountie House. They all got presents. They all got MP3 players with the songs from camp pre-downloaded on there, and they loved it. We got to have a royal ball. So the theme this year was all about Esther, so the royal court. And we had a man come with a horse-drawn carriage, and the kids got to ride in it. And they all got dressed up in gowns and suits, and it was really great. We had a little dance in the gym, and it was a lot of fun. And we got to go zip lining in the rain. That wasn't planned. We got to go rock climbing. We had a talent show. We had a bonfire. We just did a lot of activities, had a lot of fun, went swimming every day. Grandpa Herman was great with the kids in the pool. I just wanted to share a few of my favorite moments. And, I was more behind the scenes doing things, but the moments I did get with the kids were just really sweet and special. So one of them was the spa time with the girls, just doing their nails and hair and face masks. That was just really sweet and precious that I'll just always remember that. And they were loving it and just soaking it all in. Jumping in the frigid cold water with the girls and just just having fun, kids being kids and doing underwater handstands and tea parties underwater and just all the fun kid things. We gave all the kids a new pair of shoes. So they came out of their dorm room and they're like, look at my new shoes. And some of them lit up and they were so excited about them. So seeing their faces just in that moment was like, oh my gosh. Just seeing them try new things like the zip lining and rock wall climbing was just really, really sweet, just to see them trying things they never tried before and going outside their comfort zone and just having that experience that they might never have. And just seeing them conquer fears and, seeing them come off the zip line, I was like, was that fun? They're like, yeah, but it was scary. I was like, but you did it. And just kids randomly coming up to me and hugging me. It was just really sweet. And just seeing how much they enjoyed, I already mentioned this, but the MP3 players, that was just a huge hit. So it had all the songs on there, and they'd be singing along to them. And, it's about how Jesus loves them and how God is our Father. And so, they're getting that instilled in them and singing those songs. And I just believe that'll go a long way in their lives. And then we also had a Dear God letter. Joelle will share that in a little bit, but that was really sweet too, just seeing the impact that camp had on these kids. So I'll share more at the end to wrap it all up, but that's all I got for now. So who would like to go next? Otherwise, I will call on you. Dave, you want to come up? Yeah, you.
All right, hey, wow, hi. So this is my second week of wearing the purple shirt because I thought last week we were going to share, so, I'm all here for it. I just want to share, I know when you guys started planning this about 2018 into 2019, and I was like, that's pretty cool, but, we'll help a little bit. We'll, do a little fundraisers. We went to the pancake breakfast, out there at Applebee's or wherever that was, and a few things, and then COVID hit, and it's like, all that happens. And honestly, I hadn't really thought about being a part of it. We were like, that's cool and we'll help with it. But this year coming into it, after all the years, maybe I was just itching to do something after 2 years of sitting at home and whatnot. And And but I'm so grateful that I signed up for it. So I was a counselor. So I was responsible for two little ones that I had with me. And, you know, you just never know going into that, like, what does that mean? What does that look for? I'm a teacher, so I have a certain amount of skills that come with that, you know, and have a certain amount of confidence. But there's always the question of, like, what is this going to require of me? And will I be able to do it? And is it gonna be, like, terrible? Or is it going to be great? Or is it gonna just going to be, like, you know, it's like 5 days, and then you have an extra day of setup, so it's 6 days. And you're like, I have, like, two little kids I'm not going to get to see. It's gonna be like really hard for them. I mean, when I left, like, one of my boys is just tearing up and crying, and I'm like, this is like so difficult here, right? But we believe it. Like, we believe that, like, God called us to do that. My wife and I were in agreement on that, and I can just say that I'm so glad that I did it, though. It was such an enriching experience and really such a blessing. So, like I said, I had two little ones, and they could hardly be more opposite of each other. One kid is, like, very, like, neat and proper and, like, very, like, has it together and, like, thinks analytically. And then I had another kid who's just, like, he's living out loud. I mean, he's wearing his Hawaiian lei and his sunglasses and his mask, and his room is just, like, everywhere, you know, and it's like he can never find anything. And they were great, you know, and then we're charged with, like, keeping them together, right? You know, we're going to do things together, and you're like, how are we going to do this? But it was awesome. I would say, like, the first day in, we got started, and we have this little camp song that we sing, and, you know, you just throw yourself out there. You're like, okay, I'm already here, so let's just, we'll do whatever it takes, you know? I'll look like the idiot. I don't care. That's what I'm here for, right? So I'm the idiot here, right? Whatever I need to make you happy. And but I remember we sang that, and then I heard this girl right in the front row. She goes, man, this is fun. And I'm like, all right, yeah, this is a good start then. And to really see so many of those kids just transform in just 5 days. You know, they came in shy, scared. A lot of them, I don't think they really knew what they were getting into. I think they were just like, you're going somewhere. And they're like, And they're so, and then it's like, you know, by the first day, I mean, that's all gone, right? And you see by the fifth day, though, I mean, kids really encountering God and really making friendships and like, I just know that one of my kids, the last night there was really kind of starting to shut down in a lot of ways emotionally, and I was just like, you know, you're thinking about, like, what's happening here, and it's like, I know what's happening. He's actually made connections here, and he actually doesn't want to go home. He doesn't know how to deal with the fact that he's very sad and frustrated that he has to go home because he doesn't want to go home. And the next morning, same thing. You know, what could look like, oh, he's just having, like, a bad attitude. It's really him trying to deal with his grief. He's grieving. Like, he's found something wonderful. He loves it there. He's having fun. He's made friends, you know, and all the good stuff. And he's all the really positive things, and he doesn't know how to deal with it, right? And it's just like, what do you do? And how to speak into that and just be like, you're having a good time, aren't you? You know, and then he starts to cry, you know, and like, yeah. And I'm like, we love you, buddy. It's going to be great, and we're going to miss you. But you know what I'm saying? Like, hopefully, maybe next year. And I love that the fact that we're planning on doing this again next year, maybe trying to keep this going, because I know for some of the kids at the end, they were like, I want to bring my cousin next year. I want to bring my sister. I want to bring my, you know, and it was like, these kids are lit up and they're excited and they had an experience and they want to bring more back and they want to bring people into that and the possibility that we might get to see them next year. So I guess I could leave it this. You're going to hear a lot of different things today, but I guess I would say, especially as a guy, it's a sacrifice. It's 6 days, potentially, you know, 5 to 6. But I would encourage you to really think about, and you're going to hear things today, but let these things land and think about maybe next year. That may be you. Maybe God would call you out to be one of them, you know, and it could be a counselor. You know, it could be an activities director. It could be, you know, there's all sorts of camp grandpa, grandma, nurse, so many positions, and every one of them is needed. And I can say as a counselor, we could not have done it without our awesome staff and people that were backing us up. We couldn't have done it by ourselves. And, of course, we had excellent leaders, Ashley, Katrine, and Joelle, just leading the charge in such a wonderful way. So I'm just going to leave you with that and let people share more.
All right, who's next? Chad.
Okay. All right. So we just had a new baby in our house April 16th. So I was back and forth. I felt drawn to this, but I'm like, I don't think we can do it. And talk with Becky, and she was willing. She made as much of a sacrifice, if not more, than I did, staying home. And I went with the prayer, just in terms of like relating to home. Lord, I'm gonna pour my heart out for other people's kids. Will you cover my kids? Because there's no way you can ever know. Like, you have so much influence, but you can't determine where your kids end up ultimately. And so I was just asking for the Lord to father my children as I was giving out, and I just felt like the Lord honored that. So I knew it was gonna be hard. I'm an introvert, an extreme introvert, and living in a room with four other adults and six other little people for multiple days, I knew it was gonna be difficult. I didn't know how difficult it was gonna be. I don't know if after the first probably 36 hours there, I'm like, I am never doing this again. I'm not gonna tell anybody about this, and like, I can't leave because I can't, like, but I'm like, I'm not doing this again. And I was there. There was no way out. And there was a great. I mean, I couldn't, like, because somebody else is going to have to pick up for it. And there was a great team spirit. You know, like, there was everybody like, we're in this together, guys. We're in this together. I had stories read over me at night when somebody else's, you know. Anyway, there was, everybody was really together on it. So it's awesome. But I, not much getaway time for me, which is really difficult. And then, mentioned the songs, the MP3 players. My two guys were it was awesome because they're really close to each other. So they always stayed together. So it was easy for me to track with them. They weren't like going divergent directions. But they were too cool for the worship and too cool for the songs. And I'm also normally in that mindset from expressions. And so I, not only from a social perspective of being in a small room with people and not having getaway times, I had to, you know, to get into the dances and lean into them as hard as I could. And by the grace of God, I did what I could do, but I was in it. It was so surprising when they gave them the MP3 players, and maybe it was just because everybody was so starved from, I mean, I'm assuming these kids have so much media, and everybody was media starved, and my kids, you know, they used to sit down there, and I'm next, and then I'm doing all the little kid dances, and they're just sitting there with their arms crossed, and like, when is this done? Do we have to go to chapel? And we gave them the MP3s, and my kids were so excited, and they were playing the same songs repeatedly that we've been doing, and I've been like, it's gracious. I think they had a great time. I will say this was, in hindsight, and like, I would say this is probably the closest thing I've ever done to true ministry, or true religion, as James defines it, as for the widows and the orphans. And there's so much ministry you can do where you're just kind of like handing something off or like tossing something towards another person. You're like, hey, let me give you some food. Let me toss some money over here. Let me like toss something over the wall to somebody else in need. And it just felt so different than that. Like when you're in lives, when you're close knit like that, when like somebody can't fall asleep, you know, and you're in their room and like, okay, we got to do another story. We got to do another story, you know, and they know you're there. And it's like life on life in a way that it doesn't happen a lot of times. And it's, you know, like you don't have the opportunities in our modern society because our culture is so isolated, so individual. We go to the grocery store by ourselves. We got our own houses. Everybody's siloed up a little bit. And kids are just open. And there's like in a rough, obviously, a situation in life. And there's just an ability to interact and touch and just be there for them in a way that I thought was probably, like I said, the closest thing to true ministry that I've done in my life. I don't think everything was going so fast. Where our schedule was so jam-packed, and it was good to keep things moving because there's like always something like, we hate this, and we're like, we love this, you know, like back and forth, and you're with them. But it was like a vacation, except the opposite way. That like I lost, like what day of the week is it? I have no idea. You know, like when you're so carefree that you forget the day of the week, as we were so busy, I'm like, is this Tuesday, Thursday, what day is it? And it was hard to really kind of take it all in. And I think for me, part of the part of kind of the client or kind of summarizing it all was bringing, when we brought him back here, and I was just about ready to break down, handing the kids back to their foster parents, you know, and one of them really thanked me, and it's just like, man, these are great kids, and it was just I've been praying for them since. So yeah, it was I think really impactful for the kids and really impactful for I think the team together. I've formed a lot of closer friendships even here in our own body that, you know, when you're in something tough together that you kind of lean on each other. So, amen.
Who's next? Ashley?
So I've been involved with Royal Family since, I think, 2017. I was a counselor at a camp up in northern Illinois. And Royal Family Kids Camp is the reason that I'm a foster parent. And, I mean, God just really called my heart for these kids and called me to do more. So Royal Family Kids Camp has played a big part in my life. My own daughter has gone to camp. She went for 5 years, and so I've seen it from both sides. I've seen the difference that it makes after camp. I mean, you poured into these kids for a week, and then you send them home, and it's like, I remember the first year I did it, I was like, what's the point? We poured into these kids for a week, and then we ripped another relationship away from them, and it felt like I did more harm than good. And I can say as a foster parent, seeing the difference in my own child, that that's not the case. That we planted seeds, and those seeds grow as other people water them along their path. I want to share a story about a young lady I know the family, and I had to encourage. She's 9 years old. She's been in, I believe, 5 foster families, and she's now been placed with her grandma. And I had to convince grandma to send her because grandma said she has behaviors. You're not going to be able to handle her. I'm going to have to come up there. I'm going to have to drive an hour and come get her. And I was like, I promise, we're going to be okay. And so, and then I finally convinced grandma to send her. And then the agency didn't want to sign the paperwork. And then Bethany worked her magic and called. And then, like, after we'd worked a week to get the paperwork signed, Bethany got it signed in like half an hour. And so she showed up at camp, and like I said, grandma kept telling me, like, she's going to have all these behaviors. You guys aren't going to be able to handle her. And the only time she had a behavior all week was the last day, and it was because she didn't want to go home. And it was, we formed this relationship. I'm comfortable with these people. I know they care about me, and now I'm going to do what I always do to see if I can push them away. I'm going to show you all of the ugliness to see if I can push you away. And we just kept, there was 3 of us, and we just kept loving on her and kept telling her she was okay. And then she eventually realized, like, they're still going to love me, even when I'm not lovable. And then she sat down on the couch and drew pictures with me for 10 minutes and was ready to go back to do what everybody else was doing. But just to see that God's hand was really in that he gave her the strength just to be herself and to feel comfortable. And another really powerful time for me was the talent show. We do a variety show at the last night of camp. And just to see these kids who, at the beginning of the week, got off the bus. I got the pleasure of announcing the kids when they got off the bus, so I get to be one of the first people to, like, interact with them. And some of their faces were absolute terror. Like, I just got off this bus. I don't know any of these people. Here's all these people screaming and yelling, excited to see me. And almost none of them were as excited to see us. And just the difference, our photographer, Anna, I don't think she's here, she took photos as soon as the kids got off the bus, and then she took photos throughout, did a fabulous job of capturing photos of all the kids, and all the kids went home with a photo album with pictures and memories to take with them. And just the difference looking through the photo albums of that first picture where they're like deer in headlights, and then all the smiles and all the fun things and new experiences they had, just the difference, seeing that difference even in their physical features, just really preaches to the difference that we made. But anyway, the talent show, just seeing the kids get up and have the confidence, seeing the difference from when they first got off the bus to having the confidence to get up and be like, yeah, I'm good at this. I can dance. I can sing. I can just do. And some of the kids get up and at the beginning of the week and the counselors are talking to them about the talent show and like, I'm not good at anything. There isn't anything I can do. And then it's like, no, wait, let me speak life over, just watching the counselors speak life over these kids and say, no, look, I noticed that you're really good at this. And I mean, sometimes it's something as silly as bouncing a basketball or, you know, just getting up in front of them and doing doing whatever it is that God is, the talent that God has given them and all these people that they've are cheering for them and just the looks on their faces. Kelsey came up and did a dance class with a few of our girls and then they performed the dance that Kelsey taught them at the talent show, and they performed it in the cafeteria, and they performed it on the deck, and they performed it all day. They were very excited. So just so you know, Kelsey, you were only there for a day, but you made a big difference. But yeah, so, yeah.
Courtney, Joelle?
Hey friends, I'm Courtney Cleaney, and I always got something to say, for better or for worse. I'll be honest, I've literally butchered what my actual role was multiple times. Chapel coordinator? Yeah! So, like, organizing, like, Bible stories, how we're running that time. To be honest, it was really hard. and I think that that's a really beautiful summary of, like, it was difficult. But being able to see, like, it was worth it. And, for kids to be, like, they're latching on to the storyline, even though it seems like, are you paying attention to what's happening in the drama? Are you paying attention to the story at all? Is any of this sticking? Does it matter? And, you know, story of us. Mordecai is gonna die. Mordecai is gonna die. They caught on. They caught on, all right? And poor Dave. So our buddy Dave, he played Haman. And by the way, we literally, sorry, side note. Oh my goodness, this dad was really, really incredibly just amazing. You can coordinate and be like, here's what we're gonna do for step A, step B, step C. But to have them the bodies to actually fill in and like just the commitment into it of just like, yeah, we're going to memorize lines, and we're going to make sure to use our time that we could be maybe using for a little bit of downtime to come and practice so that then this rolls off well for the kids. Like, seriously, thank you, 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 thank you. Grandma B, she's my rock, after Jesus, of course. But seriously, it was just amazing, and just even thinking, this is something, Tom, you shared last week, of just seeing us celebrate one another so well. That's also, like, what we saw with the talent shows. Like, these kids literally just, yeah, you did all those cartwheels. And they're like, Courtney, do a cartwheel. No, I can't. Try it. No. The camp's liability is not that good, all right? Let's not try that out. But seriously, guys, it was incredible. And just even like Kelsey coming for a day made an impact. So don't think that, like, again, we're going to plant those seeds now, eh? And we'll remind you in a couple months, be like, oh, yeah, RFK, yeah, remember? God gave you gifts and talents not for you. They're for everybody else. And they're for actually edifying the body. And that's probably one of my favorite things to see that came out of Royal Family Kids Camp. That was not a Bradley Epworth thing. We sponsored it, but we had multiple church bodies represented and just looking at, like, what does it look like of the community of Jesus coming together and saying, you know what, we're going to give up our jobs for a few days. We're going to sacrifice time with our family. The comfort of my own home, my own bed. Everybody loves their own bed, let's be real. Even if it's lumpy, you're like, but that's my lumpy bed. To say, like, you know what, I'm going to give. And it was exhausting. I don't think I've actually been that tired in a really long time. Let me tell you, night shift, all right? If you're like, ooh, I just want to stay up and watch Netflix, great, come on down. We got a spot for you. It's actually a very comfortable couch. It's really good, actually. Really pleased. But like really everybody has something that they can invest into. It's just like, I know this church was praying for us. And I want you to know, like, it was not unfelt or unappreciated. There were multiple times, especially in the evenings, that were like, Jesus, I need you to do something right now. Like, this is like, it feels like the level of Red Sea parting. I need you to come and do something. So thank you. You invested into these kids, even if your bodies weren't at camp. Your prayers meant something. It was doing things. And I'd probably, like, summary, like, my favorite part of actually, like, our training is that it clarifies that, like, in these 5 days, we are not planting the seeds, watering them, fertilizing them, going through and expecting to receive any fruit out of it. Realistically, we will never see the fruit. And it's weird to say, like, sorry, Dave, but, like, ideally, actually, I hope I don't see any of these kids next year. Because that means they have permanency. They're not in foster care. They either got returned home or they got adopted. And it's like, that's awesome. Some we might. And being able to see, like, this being a place of safety for them. But of just knowing, like, those seeds that got planted in, like, they matter. It's not our responsibility to say, like, am I going to see anything out of it? Probability is I won't. But that doesn't mean it was any, like, less worth it. So thank you.
Herman?
Hello, everyone. Royal Kids Family Camp has definitely changed me. Initially, you know, just to start off, initially I hadn't planned on being involved, possibly maybe giving some type of financial contribution to it. However, the Holy Spirit had a different plan for me. He pulled on my heart and asked me to volunteer for the Royal Kids Camp, and I would have something great would come out of it. I procrastinated, and I was been busy. I run a business. I had all these to-do things, so the deadline ended. Me and Denise, we looked at some of the different positions. The one that I said I would want the most would be the grandpa position, but there was already filled. Deadline had passed. I said, okay, well, maybe next year. So I went ahead and forgot about it, and then someone came up and said a position opened up as a grandpa position. So I took it. So it was a challenge. It was exhausting. But the Holy Spirit had me there for a reason. You know what I mean? And I said, well, you know what? I'm a real grandpa. I got grandkids. I've raised 3 boys. You know, this shouldn't be that tough, and I was wrong. So, you know, the grandpa position is a position where you kind of like a utility person. You know, you fill the gaps. You know, the counselors, my hats are off to the counselors because they're pretty much like their mom and dad's there, essentially. You know, it's one counselor to 2 kids, and they meet all their needs, and they're with them most of the time. But the staff and the utility people kind of fill the gap. And they'll come in, you know, at nighttime, read books. They'll assist doing the chapel hour. They'll assist, you know, from lunches to breakfasts. They'll come in and assist the counselors and the kids. You know, part of my duties were to love on the kids, and that was fantastic. You know, kind of get to know the kids, tell them stories at nighttime, read stories. You know, they wanted to know about me being a fireman. I told them some fireman stories. They got a kick out of that. I primarily worked a lot with Brandon and Matt, and of course, me and Heidi were partners in the evening time routine, which was probably the toughest task in the camp, the nighttime routines between 9 and 11. Because again, these kids are stimulated the whole camp. You know, they're doing, you know, they had birthday parties with lots of sugar and cake. They had, you know, they had balls. And I got the honor to knight all the young gentlemen. And what really was that stood out was when the young gentlemen all got blazers and ties, and you could just see the pride, you know, with the putting that on. Also, it was fun to have a bonfire, meet another Matt who was also on staff, did the bonfire with the marshmallows and that. We also did the boating and also the fishing. So it was quite an experience to be able to and actually borrow 3 or 4 rods from my son Kendall to take to the camp. Joelle, she had rods and reels as well. But we were just happy and praying that nothing would happen with these hyped up kids. And these, we had 7 or 8 rods and hooks and worms and everything. And we're all in one small area. The first day that we did the fishing, unfortunately, it was a lot of seaweed. So we're all kind of in one area. Nobody really caught anything. The second day, we learned from that. We spread out. We had everything set up. And the second day, we caught like 5 fish. And the kids were excited. One gal caught 2 fish alone by herself. And it was just fantastic to see them light up when they're catching fish. And my man Chad back there, him and his group of boys, you know, wrangled the frog. Chad jumps in the water and grabs this big bullfrog, about 2-pound bullfrog. And the boys loved it. He's got 3 or 4 boys, and he was great for that. So we had just an awesome time. We had a great time in the pool. The pool, we swim pretty much every day. I think every day maybe except one. I'm a past lifeguard, so me and Matt, we would do the lifeguarding. We jump in the pool, play games. We'd even give some pool lessons as well, swim lessons. So it was quite a bit, you know, on these old bones. And of course, being a grandpa, you know, they'd always say, "Hey, grandpa, come play basketball. Hey, grandpa, come play volleyball. Hey, grandpa." And so by the 3rd or 4th day, my back and my knees was just like, "Grandpa, need a break." You know what I mean? So. But, you know, God blessed us, and he, like Courtney said, he all gave us gifts and talents to share, and this is the way that I chose to share them. So.
Joelle.
If you were a full-time volunteer at RFK this summer, would you stand up for us? Could we just give these volunteers a round of applause, please? And wait, don't sit. If you were a part-time volunteer, meaning if you came to camp, if you helped with registration, if you helped in any other task for our camp, Kelsey, that's you. Yeah, you were a registration, we see that. Give these people a round of applause, too. Okay, now you guys can have a seat. And this, as someone mentioned, this is only a fraction of our total group. It really was a beautiful building of the body of Christ in the area. And truly, this is what the Lord built. The middle of January, we were halfway through our staff application deadline. We had 2 people signed up to come to camp besides the 3 of us. And we did a lot of blinking at each other and saying, how is this going to happen? And the Lord made it happen. Like, basically a week before camp, we got our last volunteer signed up. But, like, the Lord wanted this to happen. And so I firmly believe, like, what Courtney was saying about the seeds. Like, we don't know what the important things were. We don't know if it was just for one kid, if it was for all 20 kids, we don't know. But I know that God needed this camp to happen because he made it almost appear out of nowhere. Also back in, it was in April, Katrine and I were working on the budget. Guys, we were counting pennies to make sure that we could buy the required merchandise to give to the kids, because everyone gets a t-shirt, everyone gets a duffel bag, everyone gets a Bible, everyone gets a water bottle, everyone gets a name tag, everyone gets their MP3 player. We had to make sure we had all of our required merchandise and be able to pay for the camp and food. Like, pennies, guys. And we, at that time, we were like, okay, we have $100 extra dollars to spend on extra needs. And at the end of camp, we had over $6,000 left.
Like, we don't know where it even came from. God just, like, poured out his blessing. And we are so thankful to be witness to what God has done. So I just want to share some of the letters that the kids wrote. For those that don't know, Royal Family Kids is a national organization. They have over 300 camps all across the country. Part of Royal Family Kids is they have kids write a letter to God at the end of the week. And we don't know what these kids' backgrounds are. We don't know if they've ever been to a church. We don't know if they have other religious experiences in their foster homes or biological homes and families. But this is what some of the kids wrote. This was one of Chad's campers. I love this camp, and it is entitled Dear God. So they're supposed to be writing it to God. Dear God, I love this camp. Thanks for the good people, and thank you for such good counselors. This was one of Brandon's campers. Thank you for giving me everything. Short and sweet. And I will say that a lot of kids in foster care end up being very behind academically due to either the trauma in their life, due to the moves. Every move typically sets a child back slightly academically. And so even them writing this, you can tell was very challenging for a lot of these kids, but they made it. They may work. This is one of Dave's campers. Dear God, thank you for keeping us safe at camp. I'm glad you gave us fun. Me too, buddy. Dear God, you are good and nice. We all like you. You are helpful. And this little guy, when Grandpa Herman knighted the boys, they were all to pick a knight name. And so this little boy actually wrote his knighted name, the Dragon Slayer. By the way, some of those little boys love their bow ties so much they actually went swimming in them the rest of the week. Dear God, thank you. I'm so happy I can come here, and I made an amazing friend and best friend for life. And this is really great. I still have to smile to people that I don't like, but I have to be nice, and I can't wait to be up there with you. Heart. Dear God, I love swimming and going to chapel. I like to have breakfast club and my birthday party and the ball. I also like fishing and boating, and I can't wait to go ziplining. Dear God, thank you for making the world, and I hope to have fun at camp. Dear God, I had fun swimming. I had fun coloring and drawing, and I had fun being here with Ashley. That was her counselor. And this little buddy, who Grandpa Herman worked a lot with, he just wrote, God, you are good. And so I really encourage you to kind of ask God about how you can get involved with this. We do have a Facebook page and an Instagram page, Peoria RFK for Royal Family Kids. I encourage you to follow us. We will be putting out updates throughout the year as we do different donation drives, fundraisers, and obviously we need a lot of hands. We made it work this year, but really we need more hands. So please be open to the promptings of the Holy Spirit when it comes to volunteering for next year. Thank you, guys. Oh, also special thanks to our missions committee who also gave to our camp so that we could have the carriage. That was very, very fun. So thank you, missions committee. Oh, okay. So really cool, guys. My mom, who lives in Wisconsin, one day I called her up, and she's like a really get-it-done kind of person. And again, we were counting pennies, right? And I was like, Mom, would you be willing to donate laundry detergent to camp? Because bedwetting can be a bit of a problem at camp, and so they always recommend you have being prepared for laundry things. And so she said yes. And jokingly, she asked, hey, do you need a camp grandma? And I asked her, I was like, do you know that's a thing? She's like, no, I just thought that was a funny, like, I just thought that was like a joke. And I was like, well, it is, because at Royal Family Kids, it's all about family. That's why we have grandma and grandpa titles. That's why all support staff have a family name on their name tag, okay? So like this was Aunt Ashley or Auntie Ashley? Aunt Ashley, yeah. And she's like, well, I'll come. I said, well, Mom, you have to come to 12 hours of required training. She's like, okay. Okay, so my mom became Grandma B. She did, in fact, drive down from Wisconsin to come to required training, and she drove down to come to camp for 5 days. For bedtime, she and I were paired in the same room, and she loves reading books, telling stories, so she was all about that. And then she has this little, like, blessing song that she would sing over the kids, and guys, I've never heard this song before, ever. I was like, okay, that's cool, Mom. And one night, a girl came up, or kind of like called me over. It's in the dark. She's in her bunk. And she's like, Auntie JoJo, did Grandma B sing that to you when you were a little girl? And I said, no, but she sang other songs to me like Jesus Loves Me. Have you ever heard that song? And she said, no. So I said, do you want Grandma B to sing you Jesus Loves Me? And she's like, yes. So after Grandma B was done singing her little blessing song over each girl, she went back and sang Jesus Loves Me for that little girl for the first time. And I actually later found out, I did not know, the MP3 players actually also have Jesus Loves Me in it so that all the RFK kids can hear Jesus Loves Me.
All right, guys, we're out of time. Is there anybody else who's dying to say anything? Heidi, Lori, Brandon, Rita. All right,
good morning, church. Praise God. So I just wanted to say I've been reflecting after camp. I'm a little bit slow when it comes to processing my emotions. I just need my space. And it was just interesting seeing everybody just processing how they were processing. And one of the kids said, you know, why aren't they crying? And it really was like, man, it was really interesting to see how everybody processes things differently. And on my way back, got to process quite a bit. And this morning, I didn't realize it was Father's Day. So I didn't grow up with a father figure most of my life. And two of the boys that I had, they both lost their fathers. One was tragically murdered, and I didn't have the story on what happened to the other boy's father. And it never came up in conversation, but the first day at camp, one of my boys said, Brandon, will you be my dad? And it was just, it hit me. I was like, man, this boy's just reaching out, you know. And I was older than him a little bit. He was 8, and I was 13. I was like, that's the same thing I was pursuing. And Christ entered my life at 16, and Christ got to enter his life at 8. And we got to share the Bible and walk through what that means and what all that entails. And I'm like, you know, you want me to be your daddy, but I can't be your daddy, but God can be. And it just changed his life. And Grandpa Herman got to minister during the nighttime. And I really do think today is going to mean something a little different to him because of 4L Family Kids Camp. So that's just been something that was speaking to me a little bit. So that's really all I got today. So just wanted to share that.
All right, I'm going to wrap it up. I just wanted to share something. I have this little note here. It's dated March 5th, 2020. It's a note I wrote to myself. I was praying about camp, and I was just hearing from the Lord what he had to say about it. So obviously, this is weeks before the world shut down with COVID. So I was thinking camp was still going to happen in 2020, and I was like, all right, we're going to do this. I don't know how, but we're going to do it. And so I wrote these down. I put, trust me, says the Lord, you are loving the least of these, John 13. You can do this. Nothing is impossible with me. You will be blown away by my provision, and I will connect you with the right people. And reading this now that we're on the other side of it, just impacts me so much more. Obviously, I had no idea camp would be delayed for 2 years. But just looking at this and seeing how the Lord truly did blow me away with his provision. I mean, Joelle shared, like, we were counting pennies, and then by the end of camp, we had somehow $6,000 extra. Like, it's crazy. Like, we got partnered with WCIC, and we were featured on their ministry day and had a huge surplus come in from that. And people that I wasn't even thinking of, like, wasn't on my radar, donated and gave things. And it was just like, the Lord completely blew me away with his provision. And along with that, just connecting us with the right people and the people that would have an impact and be able to, just help this camp come to life. And one of those examples was the bus. So we got the kids on a party bus to go to camp. And I called the guy to make, you know, a contract and get things rolling. And I didn't ask him to donate. And he says, I would love to donate this for you guys for camp. I was just like, what? I didn't even ask you. Thank you. Like, I was just blown away. And that's just one example of many where it was just like, this was truly the Lord's idea that for this camp to happen. It was all him. So I'm just thankful that the Lord used us and allowed us to partner with him in this. It's truly become something that I've become so passionate about, and I've never felt like this about anything in my life. Just these kids, the Lord's given me his heart for them, and it's just truly amazing to see that we did it, and we had camp, and it was amazing. But I just want to close by saying thank you to everyone who made this camp happen. Thank you to Bradley Upworth. Thank you to Pastor Tom for partnering with us and leading our church to get behind this. Because, yes, we did have a lot of involvement from the community, but Bradley Upworth was a big part of it, so thank you. And, thank you to everyone. I mean, from the beginning, Kristen Klein created our website, literally did every request I ever wanted her to do, and she didn't complain, and she just did it, and she was amazing. Courtney with drama, Lori did our activity centers, all the counselors. Allison was our nurse for part of camp. Jen did the birthday party. Just seeing all the giftings come together, it was just truly amazing, and I'm undone by it all. So thank you to everybody for listening. I hope you enjoyed all the stories. And yeah, we plan on having camp next year. We don't have dates yet, but it's definitely the plan.
That's funny listening to them say, we had $6,000 left. We don't know where it came from. I was thinking of the people like with the loaves and the fish. Wait, where do these fish come from? How do we get all these loaves? We don't understand this. I think it's God's way of saying, do it again next year. And I've already given you this much to get you started. I would just thank Katrine for all that she's done. You know, she's getting married in 3 weeks from today. And so, you know, it's not like she didn't have some other things going on. Katrine, you're awesome. God bless you. And to connect it to our work in Philippians here, you guys, Philippians 1:27 last week, live a life worthy of the gospel. I don't know how you do that more than what we've done. And Brian, that was very prophetic, Psalm 113. He lifts the needy and seats them with princes. That's what it was all about, right? Showing these kids that they're royalty. That's exactly what you read. Lifting the needy and seating them with princes. They have a family. It's a royal family. It's awesome. It's beautiful. Rita, thank you from coming down from Naperville for the training and all that you did as a counselor. All right, you guys, I think we got a great picture here of what it looks like to serve and to give in order to see God glorified and live a life worthy of the gospel. So let's all stand up and let's just have a brief moment of just, I want you to just ask God, say, Lord, help me to walk in this atmosphere all my life, every day of my life. I want to do as we have done in this last time and to make this church one that continually supports and makes possible lives worthy of what you've done for us. So let's just take a moment.